Today on Real Life Radio.
The Bible gospel message is unstoppable. Why? It's pure truth. We don't have to defend it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What a Message We Have in Jesus. You know, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 9, we'll consider how there are things in life that affect us like nothing else can. You see, Jesus had been tutoring the disciples for some time now, but the time had come for them to grow up and become men in the things of God. But still, Jesus did not send them out without a message and gave them the power they needed to be fully effective. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that what if everyone would stop for a moment, get alone, and ask themselves, who is this Jesus? We'd finally accept that our very lives depend on our answer. Now, with his teaching called What a Message We Have in Jesus, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And the Bible says over and over again, are you guys okay? Can you write these next verses down? Media booth, get ready. We're going to run through these fast. Here's the good news. That our lives can be changed. It's based upon this very, very wonderful word that nobody wants to say anymore. It's probably going to be illegal pretty soon, the way America's going. A very famous TV minister said, I will never say this word in public. Really? Well, he said, because it's not positive. Are you kidding me? Listen to this. Don't misunderstand the word. In Mark 6:12, it begins, so the disciples went out and preached that people should repent. Repent. The word is metanoia. In Greek, it's for shipmasters and navigators on boats. They're cruising along. Here's what the word means. And this is the word, this is how the gospel lifted it right out of the normal day life. Captain, rocks ahead. What? There are big rocks ahead. Turn the ship around. We don't want to hit the rocks. Turning the ship around. You know what the word they used? They didn't get into a dialogue. The navigator or the observer said, metanoia! You know what that meant? The guy holding the wheel, the helm, didn't go, well, I don't know if I feel like it. I don't know. What do you think? Should we metanoia or not? Do you want a metanoia? I don't want a metanoia. They didn't talk about it. There were rocks ahead. The guy would just wheel that wheel around, turn the ship around. And we get all goofy with it. The gospel is, first of all, repent. Acts 3:19. Metanoia means change your direction, change your mind. Acts 3:19. Change your mind, therefore, and be converted, that your sins be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come to you from the presence of the Lord. Is that not good news? Are you guys with me? Are you awake? Is that not good news? God says, change your mind, and you can be refreshed and have your sins forgiven. What kind of a dope would refuse that offer? Nope, I'm going to sail right into the rocks, man. Can you believe that? Leave me alone. You're going to hit the rocks. It's my boat. I did it my way. Crash. What a nut. Metanoia is the gospel. Turn your ship around. Change your mind. Acts 17:30. Paul said, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to change their mind, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man Jesus whom he has ordained. And he has given us the assurance, having raised him from the dead. Change your mind. Metanoia. Matthew 3:1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, change your mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Wow. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, change your mind, the kingdom of God is near. And Matthew 12:41. Jesus said, the men of Nineveh will rise up and condemn this generation of unbelievers because they changed their mind at Nineveh at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is standing before you. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that great? I love that. Point number two. We're going to do point number two and point number three in the next 10 minutes. So put your goggles on. Verses 3 to 6, the message is what we're focused on as believers because it's the message that stands alone. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3, and he said to them, take nothing for the journey. What? Yep, no staffs, no bag, no bread, no money, and do not have two tunics apiece. What's he saying? When you go out there, you're going to do, listen, why did Jesus say this? It was awesome. You're going to go out there and you're going to preach the word of God and you're not going to, watch, you're not going to charge a penny for it. And you're not going to go all prepared on some big with some big caravan. You're going to go trusting God and you are not going to preach anything but my word. Now watch this. Why did Jesus say that? It's almost like he wrote this today. Do you know what was going on back then? There were these religious leaders traipsing about the land and they had entourage. They had a caravan of goods that they would acquire from each town that they preached in. And they preached whatever they preached, you know. And as they go from town to town, they would acquire money and they would have, it's almost too current. They would send footmen ahead to make preparations for where they would stay. I'm not going to stay in the Motel 6. Don't you have a Hilton? I want the Damascus Hilton. I want the Jerusalem Hilton. They would send guys ahead. They were on the payroll. They would ask for money. They would give what they gave and charged for it. Oh, I'll tell you some good news. I'm coming to town. All citywide, meaning Saturday, $250 for the day. We'll serve you a continental breakfast. And you'll hear the 10 secrets on how I became rich and famous or whatever it is. And people flock to it. They line up. Oh my gosh. And then the guy pulls away, pulling the trailer with his Learjet. It's like today. Jesus said, nope, I want you to go out there and you are going to be completely different. You're going to give the gospel without charge. You're going to preach. And you, well, listen, if somebody wants you in their home, stay the night there. Let their hospitality be a blessing to you. You're going to learn to be trusting in God and not things and people. And listen, when you get up and go, praise the Lord. That's amazing. Now, this doesn't happen to everybody, but I believe that it happens from time to time in every preacher or pastor's life and ministry. There's a time when you don't know if you're going to eat next week. God is in that in a beautiful way. I think the West has become extremely polluted because ministry has some sort of a perception that it's all covered and taken care of and there's no suffering. If God blesses a ministry, praise the Lord. If he doesn't, what are you supposed to do? Praise the Lord. You need to learn how to abound. You need to learn how to be abased, Paul said. And they're learning this at Jesus University here. And then look at this, verses 4 and 5. It not only stands alone, but we're focused on the message because it's the message that separates. And this is not always a popular thing. Listen to what Jesus says. It's beautiful, actually. It's a lot more merciful than what you think. He says, whatever house you enter into it, stay there. And from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, that is, they don't receive you or your message. They don't want anything to do with you. When you go out of that city, notice you don't get to stay the night there. They don't want you there. What are you supposed to do? He says, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. In ancient Israel, why did Jesus say this? In ancient Israel, this is exactly what they did. And some Jews even think this way today. When they would traffic on their caravans to other places in commerce, or for whatever reason, they would leave the borders of Israel. When they came back near to the border of Israel, they would take their shoes and they would dust their robe and their shoes off completely and then step into the borders of Israel. They didn't want to bring any pagan, that is unbelieving, dirt onto the land of Israel. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. Can't bring any unbelieving dirt even. into the land of Israel. Shake it off. Jesus said, when you get to the city limits and you're leaving that town, they don't want anything to do with you. You don't sit there and go, you bunch of jerks, fry you guys, I turn or burn. You're going to burn. That's not Christian. People always say, oh, you Christians, man, you got this Jesus or we're going to fry. Hey, we're not putting a gun or a Bible or a concordance to anybody's head to make them accept Jesus. We're not supposed to do that. You get right to the edge of the city and Jesus says, just shake off the dust. You say, man, that's cold. Oh, no, wait a minute. The literal act, it was a twofold warning in that day, and it's beautiful. It was a symbolic act to denounce paganism, and number two, it was a warning to that town for them to denounce paganism. You're pagans, turn. It wasn't, you're pagans, burn. No, it was, you guys are pagans, you need to turn. You're not welcoming the very heart of God. I want you to know that. I'm going to pray for you. And they walked away. And that's very, very important. That's very critical. Thirdly, under this point, because it's the message that saves. Verse 6, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Can you mark that? Please mark that. Verse 6 is yours. So they departed and went through the towns. They obeyed him. They get an A for that. Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They get nothing for that. They get an A for obeying, but God gets all the glory. Amen? And so they go preaching. That's their first solo flight. I don't know who preached first, you guys. We don't know who preached first, but we know this. All of them preached. Now, before you get too excited about that, guess who also preached in the group of 12? Yeah. Doesn't that kind of make you nervous? He was the same guy that also did healing. Judas. Yikes. Does preaching and healing people mean that you're going to heaven? No. Do you believe the gospel? Judas didn't believe the gospel. But he gave the gospel. But he didn't believe the gospel. Can you preach the gospel and not believe in the gospel? Oh, yeah, you can. Robert Tilton on tape said that he didn't even believe in the Bible. But he makes millions of bucks every year preaching the Bible. I don't know if he's, you can't even say that's preaching the Bible. Interesting, huh? But boy, does people still flock to his channel. Amazing. They had never done this before, you guys. They had never had this kind of rush before. They had never been here before. It was awesome. They were so excited, no doubt. And so, thirdly, we end with this. What a message we have in Jesus in that verses 7 to 9. The message is greater than everything. It's greater than all. This is amazing because in a moment here, you're going to see the very act of obeying the Lord, what it accomplishes or what it can accomplish. When you are faithful to the Lord, 1,000 different responses can happen. I just don't know if we're ready sometimes to receive this one. It says in verses 7 to 9, beginning at verse 7, that the reason the message is greater is that it cannot be stopped. We need to be encouraged by this morning. The message of the Bible is unstoppable. Now, tonight, I know we're going to get together on this important topic. If this is your home church, if this is your home, then you'll be here tonight. But I've been studying hard and for a couple months on the topics of tonight. And I got to tell you, I had to keep coming back and opening my Bible so that I could get my head, my bearings straightened out. Because when you study this sick, weird stuff about cult and bizarre belief systems, you can get really discouraged. And I needed to be reminded of the good news, you know. God is so good. Because yesterday morning, you guys, I don't know where you were yesterday. But I think it's safe to say, when you woke up yesterday morning, was it not an awesome day when you woke up? I mean, I don't even care if your house was on fire. It was a beautiful day to have a house fire. Have you noticed how beautiful it was? It was just beautiful. It was warm. We woke up, and at least at my house, it was 70 degrees in the morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I get up before everybody. I open up every window in the house. My wife, I drive her crazy. I open up the front door. I open up every window. I can't have screens on a window. I want to see trees blowing, the wind moving. I got to do it, man. And it's a perfect world. Everybody's sleeping, including the dogs. I'm doing the Bible study. I got my Bible here, my commentaries. It's just me and the Lord, the breeze. Perfect. And I see two guys walking by in front of the house with two white shirts and a tie and a little badge. And I was so behind in study. I had this message to prepare for. I had another message to prepare for. I'm juggling both like this, trying to keep my mind. One's very happy and exciting. The other one's very depressing about false gospels I'm studying. And the door's wide open. So there's no door for them to knock on, but I'm sitting right there. And they walk up. Hi. And I said, hi, you guys. You know what? I can't talk to you, but I've got something for you. And just hang on 1 second. And I only moved like 3 feet away. And I grabbed in my Bible, I always keep, Is Jesus God? That handout that you should have. You should have about five of them at your house at all times. And I grabbed it, and there's two guys. And I said, I want you to read this. And I'm so sorry that I can't talk with you now. I don't have time. But if you just read these things, if you just read these things, it could really make for a great day. Isn't it a beautiful day that God has given us today, you guys? And they said, one guy said, do you go to Calvary Chapel? I'm dead serious. And I said, yeah. And they both went, okay, yep. Anyway, all right, thanks. And they turned and they walked away, but they had the answer. I couldn't get into a debate with them, but they had the answer in their hand. It's up to them to read it. Amen. They could read it and come to a knowledge of Jesus, the right Jesus from the Bible Jesus. And the awesome thing about that is the gospel, no matter how dark or attack or whom, I don't care if they get in line to knock on your door to give you, okay, next. Okay, well, this is our story. Next. Well, this is our story. The Bible gospel message is unstoppable. Why? It's pure truth. We don't have to defend it. Can you imagine sending a soldier to a war? Go! Yes! All right! Here we go! All right! You got this weapon? Yes! Use it! Okay, this is a weapon. It shoots, 40 rounds per second. Don't talk about it! Use it! It's like a doctor. You're going to need surgery. The doctor's going to say, well, we're going to cut you open. And I got the best scalpel that money can buy. It's the best. It's shiny. I can even see my teeth in it. It's great. Don't talk about it. Use it. Don't talk about the Bible. Use the Bible. It's absolutely spectacular. Why? It's unstoppable. You can't stop it. It's God. Holy, undeniable, powerful word. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away. The atmosphere, the stars, all that stuff, the ground, it's all going to pass away. But my word will never pass away. That's awesome. It can't be stopped. Now Herod, verse 7, the tetrarch heard of all that was being done by him, and he was perplexed. What are you perplexed for, Herod? Because it was said by some that John the Baptist had come back from the dead. Well, this Herod had John the Baptist killed. You think a little conscience bothering him a little bit? The Bible will do that to people who are not living right with the Lord. Conscience. God gets in there and messes it up. Beautiful. It's a good thing. The biblical message will do that. Look at this. Secondly, verse 8. The message is greater than all by reason of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't need to talk about this much. Watch. This is exactly what Herod's concerned about. Verse 8. And that some said that Elijah had appeared, and by others, one of the old prophets who had risen again. Do you know what that means? To those who lived in Israel both then and now, if you start talking about Elijah and another prophet coming back at the same time, and he, and I don't recognize who Jesus is, then could he be the Messiah? Because Elijah and the other prophet is supposed to return before the second coming of Christ, says the Old Testament. Herod knew enough about the Bible just to hurt himself, but not to believe it. By the way, that's Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. That's what he's worried about. Oh my goodness, could this be Malachi 4, verse 5? It's not John the Baptist. I dealt with that guy. If it's Elijah and Moses, then This could be the Messiah. But he's perplexed about that. He's not happy about it. And then finally with this, the message is greater than all by reason of the fact that his message continues. Herod said, John I've beheaded, so he's removed from the factor. But who is this of whom I hear such things? And it says that Herod sought to see Jesus. Isn't that amazing? John the Baptist came announcing Jesus Christ, and John the Baptist, watch this, it happens every day. John the Baptist said to Herod, hey, you know what? It's not good for your family to be messed up the way that it is, sleeping with your brother's wife. You know what he did about that? He had John the Baptist's head cut off. By the way, in the Middle East, when you want to kill your problem, you have to cut his head off. It's very symbolic. A lot of people in the Middle East are wondering why in the world Saddam Hussein's head was not cut off. We're getting blamed for being involved in it because he was hung. Did you know that? They wanted his head cut off, not hung. They view hanging as a Western thing. It's a cowboy deal. I'm dead serious. Much of the Muslim world who wanted him dead, they did, you know. They wanted his head to be cut off because when you cut the head off of a king, that's when the authority dies. Isn't that interesting? Interesting. Well, John I've dealt with, says Herod. It's this Jesus that's driving me nuts. And he's scared to death. He's perplexed. The word means he's completely confused. He can't, listen, make up his mind about who Jesus is. Wow. I hope you're not there today. I don't know who he is. I can't make up my mind. Oh, no. You must make up your mind. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, it is an amazing thing to realize that in a moment we're going to be leaving this building and go out into this world. And Father, I beg of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that there would be not one of us today that would take the very steps that we make in a moment lightly. We may think we're making the wrong turn today. We may think we got stuck in that parking lot. Or we might think that the bill is not coming quick enough. Or we might think we're going to go home and fix the light socket. You've gone before us in every way. And you're there. And from it, in it, with it, you want to use us to touch the world. If we need a tow truck driver today, then he must need Jesus Christ. If we run out of gas today, or if we go to the store today, or we look at our neighbor today, or we talk to our children today, it will be because they need to hear about the Lord. Father, may we not forget you. May we always have you before our face. And may we be so excited about this awesome, wonderful message we have in Jesus. For it's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, What a Message We Have in Jesus. You know, this teaching today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.